311.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome to the 311 Radio Show here on VOB 92.9 FM. Trust you've been having a really good Sunday so far as you stick with us here on VOB 92.9. I am Crystal J. Paul, and with us today, we have a loan officer, but believe me, she can't handle herself very well. Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford. Good afternoon to you, Officer Ford.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you, and how are you?
I am doing well. It's been quite a week, as you can imagine, here at Starcom Network. But, oh, yes. You know, death has a way of making us think of life, I always say. And so we have a greater appreciation for life and for those around us, even as with the recent passing of both Dennis Johnson and Warren Fort, John Doe, suddenly. So we're holding on. How have you been?
I empathize with you because I know what that is like when we had our own officers do the same thing as well. So I can definitely empathize. But we've been good. It did come as a shocker when we heard that, especially when we heard Dennis J. I remember the old Dennis from
yes.
I would refer to him. But as you said, you know what? People have this tendency of saying one thing that is shared equally is death, but at the end of the day, it still does not take away that impact when you lost that loved one.
That's right. That's right. So today we're going to have a bit of a different kind of show. Even as Officer Ford, you know, said, let's do something a bit different today, because when I was on vacation, Dennis would have filled in for me in hosting the 311 radio show. So the Barbados Fire Service, in relaying their condolences, just wished to repeat one of the last shows that he would have done. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So much so. Yes, it hit us. We did feel the impact. I got up the morning and then my mom came and told me I could not believe it. So in honor of Mr. Dennis J., the one and only, this is our way of paying tribute. And remember, our chief has said he wanted to do a show with him. But you see, that's something we should never put off when we have the opportunity, because you don't know what is going to happen. So, Mr. Dennis J., wherever you are looking down, let me say thank you for the input that you would have made to my life, talking to me personally, pulling me one side and saying words of encouragement. All I can do now is sit back and listen to one of these shows that you would have done with us. And it was honestly, truly a blessing working with you.
So here we go.
Good Sunday afternoon to you again. Yes, I'm still with this, the 311 radio show on another Sunday afternoon. And I'm joined this afternoon by two favorite voices of yours and favorite voices of mine, and familiar as well to most of you who follow the show. We have with us the fire and life safety officers. I got the name right this time. Natasha Ford and Jason Collins. Good afternoon to you both. It's nice for you to take the time off on your busy Sunday, your busy week schedule, to talk to the public on these matters. Good afternoon to you.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you and to the folks out there who are listening as well.
Good afternoon to you, Barbados, as well.
Now, last week when we were chatting, I missed Jason. I told you I saw him doing what fire officers do, which is to use the local parlance, out in the fire, to say it properly for the radio, extinguishing a blaze on a car.
Oh, yes, definitely.
By the way, the car is still by the side of the road burnt, okay? So I just let you know this. I didn't think it was a drill. I thought it was real.
And
he was trying to aid their plans in moving around. So I want to start there this afternoon, because from listening to you over a period of time, sitting on Sunday afternoons in the studio and sometimes engaging with you, the cooperation of the public and the engagement of the public in treating these situations, crucial. So here you had a fire in a vehicle outside a residence. So I suppose the challenge, and you can help me with this, Jason, is will it spread to another vehicle that's parked close by? Will it spread to the residents? How do you, you know, make sure that this doesn't happen? And then, of course, getting their plants into and out of certain areas where people may be parked on both sides of the road indiscriminately, people stopping to use another term that I'm not sure I could use on radio. My producer may cut me to malicious. How much of a challenge is it for you when you have to get to a scene and you encounter these problems. When people don't respond to your siren, cars parked indiscriminately, you know, car burning and people standing up watching, and the house may soon, to use the again local term, catch a fire.
Okay. Well, first of all, for that particular incident you're speaking about that you saw me, we didn't have issues in terms of getting to that scene at all. As a matter of fact, when we got to the top of the road, a resident directed us towards where the fire was. So,
so you had cooperation.
Right. Kudos to those persons who at times assist the fire plants in getting to scenes, especially if you can't see any flame. Sometimes it may be difficult to ascertain where this emergency might be.
Okay.
But I understand and I agree with you, because we have often instances where the traffic would not pull to the side of the road and stop. That is a major challenge that each and every one of us encounter almost daily in carrying out our duties. In terms of, you know, a car causing another car or a house or whatever to burn, generally they're not parked that close where that happens. But once we get on the scene, chances are we usually keep it to the particular car that is burning and so forth.
Okay.
The challenge though, in terms of getting to scenes in the town area, the city area, we do have a number of challenges in getting to the city area because, as you know, the roads are quite close. A lot of persons living in the city area who have vehicles do not have driveways as you may have, because the houses are so close in proximity, they don't have driveways to park their vehicles. Therefore, the only option is to park on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. However, what also adds to that complication is when you find that Dennis parks on the left side of the road and Natasha parks on the right side of the road.
Correct.
So instead of every vehicle parked in a uniform manner to create a lane that any other vehicle, whether it be a fire plant or otherwise, can travel, you find that person's parked on alternate side of the road and you have a situation where the appliance can't get to the fire that they are seeking to get to. As a matter of fact, I have experienced where I was in a truck heading to a fire in the city area, a 4-day morning, basically around the 1, 2 o'clock region where everybody is sound asleep, most people. And we had to wail the siren and blow horns to get that person, the owner of that car, to come outside to move their vehicle in order for us to get to that fire. And it was a house fire. This is not anything anybody told me. This is something I experienced going to an emergency. So these are some of the challenges that we are faced with. And while we're on that, I'm not sure if it still happens. I just want to touch on it because it also is part and parcel of what we're discussing. In St. Lawrence Gap, in the Dover area, when you pass St. Lawrence, go up Dover, there are some hotels that I don't think they are workers, but whoever they are, persons park in front of these hotels. Now, the roads are quite narrow to start with. And then you find, as I say, I don't know what has happened since COVID because I have not been in that area and so on for that period. But I can say to you that there used to be issues where I would pass and say to myself, God forbid there's an emergency at one of these hotels or in any close proximity and one of the fire plants decide to take this Dover stretch, this area. They will not be able to traverse properly because the roads are blocked. And when I say blocked, persons parking on the side of the road, leaving a very narrow space for an appliance to pass. Actually, somebody personally called me about it, and I observed it after, and I noticed, well, this can't be a problem. So there are a number of challenges as it relates to us making our way to emergencies and so forth, as I highlighted just now.
Let me make this an appeal to the Ministry of Public Works and Transport on behalf of the residents, the citizens of Barbados and the fire service. In certain countries that I've had the pleasure of either visiting or residing, there are certain streets, because of the size of the street, parking is restricted to one side of the street on certain days of the week. So you have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the left, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday on the right. Sunday, you can park on either side. But I know that people used to have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and move their cars from the left side to the right side, or then get a ticket. Okay. So perhaps we need to move in that direction. I'm getting support from the fire officers. So please, let's try to assist the members of the fire service in saving a life and a property that may be yours. So let's talk about
service. We also have the ambulance personnel. We also have sanitation personnel.
Oh, and yeah, then
we quarrel and ask why we don't have in our garbage collected, but you are impeding us from carrying out our duties.
Thanks for reminding me of those. I've seen the garbage truck having some difficulty in a certain street pretty close to Starcom Network on one occasion. Yeah, it has happened. And cars had to be moved and people were a little upset. And yeah, it gets a little rough at times. Let's talk about saving lives and let's talk about the work of the fire service and something you've raised before. I saw in the newspaper recently a report, sadly, of another house fire quite recently, an elderly lady. Now, there were several stories in that report that I paid attention to. Story number one was the fact that the elderly lady was by herself when the fire occurred. The second thing was that the story said, you know, these old people, she had a bag packed and she picked it up. I thought that was really good, you know, that she remembered to pick up a bag, whatever she had in the bag, maybe her, you know, her important documents or at least her medicines or something. But the other thing that the story spoke about, people filmed her struggling along. And that too raised the flag in my mind because I know that is something that you guys have addressed on this program before. That rather than report a fire, people use it as an opportunity to, again, I'll use that term, malicious, for whatever reason. We lost another house. Thankfully, we didn't lose anyone on this one, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, as you said, you would have read that in the paper, but then there was also a video that was attached. And in this video, as you said, there was no one else around to offer this lady any assistance. But we have an individual, and this goes back to show how cold, and I make no apology for saying it, how cold we have become. We're not our brother's keepers anymore. We don't give the level of respect to our senior citizens that we should anymore. I mean, there's a lady, you can see what is happening in that video. You can see that house is on fire and she's there with an umbrella, with a bag in hand, and she is trying. I mean, what was so wrong with going and lending assistance? But we always have to be the paparazzi, and you're not being paid for the videos. I mean, thanks for the education over there after all, but I would have given $1,000 to you if you were filming yourself helping that lady to get out of the immediate danger zone. Would that have been more of a humanitarian picture to post than to see her there? And let me think about it at the end of the day. If some of us are fortunate enough to live, to become that age, to become old, as we would like to put it, we would want other persons to look after us, to assist us. But at the end of the day, we don't do it for people, but then we expect that when we get to that age, oh, everybody's then going to come to my help and come to my rescue. I've always heard my great-grandmother say, the life that you live and how you treat people today will reflect in the future. Sure. If it doesn't happen to you, it will happen to your offspring. And that absolutely peeved me when I saw that video. Not too long ago, Jason was looking at it again, and it just became all emotional because that could have been my grandmother. It could have been your grandmother. What if she had stumbled and fall or something like that? And I mean, it just speaks to how cool as a people we have become. What was so wrong with getting from wherever it was that you were hiding behind the camera and going out there to assist her? How do we not...
You know, it says again that this thing about being our brother's keeper has to somewhere factor into our thinking. Our neighborliness, the fact that we live in communities, we should know the people in the community. We should know the elderly. We should be respectful to them because, as you say, one day we may live to the age of 95. The worry for me, again, is some of them, and I'll be honest, because they've lived lives where they've depended on themselves and they're fairly independent-minded, you know, they feel comfortable living alone. But we must have some kind of compassion and reach out to the elderly in our communities if we know who they are, where they are. Because if I cast my mind back, there was a fire, I think, in the Worthing area some time ago where, again, a fairly large property was lost. I think the lady there was in her 90s. There was a gentleman with her in her 90s. I think there was one third person who was about 60s, but wasn't there at the time of the fire. But again, there were two elderly people in the kitchen where the fire started. So we have these things about stoves flaring and elderly people. As I said, luckily this lady got out. But again, how do we assist those at that age? What advice? What do we tell the neighbors? What do we tell the people close by? You know, in addition to telling them, don't film them when they're struggling. What do we do to try to assist?
One of the things that we keep advocating and we keep saying to persons, especially if they live in close proximity to you, one of the best gifts that you can give them is a smoke alarm. And when you would ask, what would they say, a smoke alarm? As you said, they're independent. They like to know that they can still do things for themselves. If something happens within that, within the home environment, the alarm automatically, once it is working correctly, it's being tested, batteries have been changed, whatever, and it's working correctly, when it detects smoke, it gives off a loud, audible alarm. So therefore, anyone within the vicinity, the neighbors, they can hear that. Right. And just, you know what? Go and check on your neighbor, see what's happening. Again, there's nothing wrong if they don't have that system in place. On mornings, before you leave home, or if you're there, Miss Mary, how are you? Miss Clark, I mean, check on your neighbor. There's nothing wrong with that. We find time to do other things, you know, ask them. There's something called the telephone. Most of them, they like to have the landline. You will find that most of the people who still have landlines are within a certain age.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with calling and finding out, I didn't hear you for the morning, I didn't see you for the evening, you want anything, everything is okay. Mm-hmm. And I am telling you, if you know your custom saying, Mr. Maynard sitting down by the window, and you ain't see him this evening, don't just take it for granted. Go and knock. I'm not saying that within the COVID environment, you have to go into the premise. Just go and knock. Mr. Maynard, are you in there? I'm not hearing you. It just goes back to being human.
Jason, you said earlier that you were going to a house fire and you called it 4-day morning. And it again triggered something in my head. And let me ask this question. Is there a particular time of day when persons like the elderly people we talk about are more vulnerable? Like, you know, late in the evening when they want a cup of tea before they go to bed, or the first cup of tea in the morning and they're still kind of drowsy, or they go in the bathroom and forget the stove on and that kind of thing. Is there a particular time where they're a little more vulnerable?
Well, I will say this, right? The elderly, especially living alone, they are already vulnerable.
Okay.
And you can add to that persons maybe visually impaired or hearing impaired. That adds to the vulnerability of these individuals. What I would say also too, is not only elderly, because you spoke about the time of the day. I think every individual is more vulnerable during sleeping hours, because the average human being is sleeping around after the midnight into the morning area. So most of the time you find when persons perish who are younger persons, most of the times when they perish in house fires, is due to the fact that the fire caught them asleep, basically.
They fell asleep.
And by the time they are aware that there's smoke or fire within the house is engulfed in smoke, and a lot of people do not know how to find a door or whatever have you, and become entrapped in their own environment. So I would say that everybody is vulnerable, especially during the dead of the night hours, as we would call it. But the elderly are vulnerable all the time, especially as long as they are living alone, because I have seen places where they live alone, and you know, they like their kerosene lamps and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what they are accustomed to, and some of them still gravitate towards that. And sometimes if you go into some of their houses, you will see that the roof, you can see that the transfer heat going to that particular part where the lamp is kept or where the stove is kept, you can see the discoloration, you start to see it. All of these are things that I think sometimes we take for granted, and then Ford alluded to it, and it's something that we have said on this program countless times about being a brother's keeper. Look out for the elderly in your community, your neighborhood, and know who is who can't hear well, who can't see well, etc. Because if, for example, the stove, as we like to say, blow up, if you cannot hear or you can't hear well, you probably might not even be aware that it has happened. You may not be able to hear your smoke alarm if you have one. Okay. These are things that we are faced with and that are realities. You understand?
So hence the reason why there are different types of smoke alarms.
Okay.
So we have the audible ones for persons who can't
see. Visually impaired, yes. You have some that are for people who are visually impaired, and you have some for persons who are hearing impaired as well?
Impaired. That is correct. So the ones that we would recommend for the persons who are visually impaired would obviously be the audible alarm. Saying that they can't see the light, they would at least hear the sound. And of course, it's up to a certain amount of decibels because it needs to be loud and piercing.
Right.
And then for those persons who are hearing impaired, we have the visual alarm that carries a light. So therefore, that's why even when we go into businesses and do inspection, we try to enforce that they have both alarms within the vicinity. They have the audible as well as the visual alarms.
Now, the other thing is this. Sometimes when you talk to people who care for the elderly, whether it's their children or caregivers, they say, man, these people have ideas, you know. We tell them don't sleep with a lamp. We buy an electric light for them. They say the electric light too bright, or this one giving off too much heat. They prefer their lamps. So we have these preferences. So the thing then is, how do we ensure that if we know there is a preference, especially if we live in the home with a person, shouldn't we at least check with them, see if they've fallen asleep, you know, and the lamp's still burning, or if, you know, everything is all right? Because there are times, and Jason, you're quite correct, it happens to the young as well. We have young people who work 2-3 jobs, and DJs, for example, will play 3-4 FETs in the night. And while the FET is on, they're hyped and going. But I know some who crash out real hard before they even get to the car. Some have slept in their cars, which perhaps is better than having you fall asleep on the road. But if you get home and you're hungry and you say, you know, let me put on something to warm it up, and you turn on the stove, but, you know, you crash out. There is a danger there. So I take that on it. You know, should we check on our elderly if we live with them? You know, just check on them. Peep every once in a while and make sure everything's all right. The way they used to when we were babies, right, Natasha? The way you would look at the baby in the crib.
They said once a man, twice a child. And that is exactly what's going on. They're going back basically like an infant. So you have to be more vigilant with them. But as you're saying, with technology that the way it is out there, sometimes what we do, and I could say that I'm guilty. We are technology savvy. We know how to use it. We will go there, well, this is a better alternative. We just buy it and we put it there. And we expect that they know how to use it. We don't go through the process of explaining and showing them and telling them why it is better for them. Some of us are really impatient. We don't know how to handle our seniors. So yes, we would term them as being hard ears, but at the end of the day, they still want to know that they are seen as independent. Right. And then you make them feel like they're a burden, or you give them that, what do we call, disrespect. Right. It is only obvious that their will act out is like you. You don't want anybody to treat you a certain way. If they do, you stand up for your rights. Right. So it's basically them doing the same thing. They're standing for their rights. So if you have a cursing or lamp, and I did this with, well, not saying that he's elderly, but he's not an old man. He would tell you so. My father.
Careful.
Wrong the hurricane season, because I know they're accustomed to the cursing all out. I recognize, you know what? All right. We now have solar lights. So I made sure that I invested in the solar lights and I carried it and I said, you know what? No, you don't got to buy in a currency. No, that's money saving. You now have the lamp. All you need to do is put it out in the sun and get a little charge and you're good to go. And you can turn up the brightness or you can turn it down if you want to have a romantic session.
He complied? Did he comply? Please say he did.
He did comply.
Okay, just checking. Just checking. No, because look, I know.
For me, that is a concern because I know he lives alone.
Yeah.
I saw circumstances, and I mean, it brought tears to my eyes when I saw a lady living in a house. Electricity was off, and you know, sometimes people say, there's a spirit that moves within you and it begs you to do something. You should always follow your mind and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was really tired that day. And I passed 3 exits that would have taken me to this house. And the last one, it just felt so strong. Go by this house. Go to the house. And when I went to the house, I recognized there is this lady lying in her bed and she has a kerosene oil lamp. in the bag on a stand that come off the barrel, the metal stand.
Right, yeah.
My thing is, if she had turned and knocked it, and yeah, not that, that would have been a different story. And then I saw that, I mean, I became so overwhelmed. It was like, if I did not listen, what would have happened here? And those are the things that we need to look out for. Sometimes we say, if you didn't know, but sometimes we have this internal voice saying to you, do this or do that. Yeah. And we don't. And sometimes we need to follow that voice.
Looking ahead, I want to ask you this question, because we're in the midst of a COVID pandemic. We have people working from home. We have people not going out. Last week, Jason, the mention was made that you have restricted numbers on your appliances now. You know, you can't stack them full of people when you go to any issue. Are you being tasked with other duties in this environment? Are there other things that are coming up for the fire service and the life safety officers in the current environment?
It seems like you have smelt it.
Perhaps I'm listening to that inner voice that you mentioned. Yes. What else is happening with you?
Oh my goodness. So some of us are now working in conjunction with the Ministry of Health and Wellness in the Logistics and Operations Center. They're not out fighting fires. They're now trying to...
fighting COVID.
But, yes, definitely.
That's what life safety means. Yeah.
Exactly. And we have a couple officers. I think they're about five or six of them who are now attached to the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Okay.
And that is what they are now doing. When it was trying to get an understanding of what they're doing. So basically, as it stands, the logistics and operations center, you can they have a lot of logistical work doing. So they're trying to manage the situation as it stands, trying to route when people come in, when the swabs are collected, who's going to which quarantine site, isolation site. And when I heard my colleague, I can tell you, he sounded tired. So this is also an appeal for persons out there. We've been seeing the rise in numbers. We're begging you. I mean, Jason is my buddy. And at the end of the day, I don't like to see him in a mask. I mean, it feels so impersonal. But we know, because we have each other's back, I'm going to do what I can to protect him, while at the same time protecting myself. So this is an appeal to persons out there. Just do what you're asked to do. At 168 with three deaths, that is beyond what we like to hear. It is beyond what we want to hear. And each and every one of us has a part to play. These numbers can come down, but only when we do what we're supposed to do. Protocols have been put in place. There is a reason why the persons that work at the isolation center, they're not coming down with it. And even if this one or two did, they were able to recover because they're vaccinated, they're observing social distance, they're wearing their masks. And all we're asking or we're pleading for you to do at this point is to do the same thing. Protect yourself.
You know, it's funny, Dennis, when you mentioned a little earlier about the elderly, where some persons would say that they're...
They heard it, yeah.
I smiled to myself when you made that statement, because I was about to say to you that they're no different to us.
When we are young.
Because, let us be real. There are persons that you cannot even get them to wear their face mask properly. I am not saying it is comfortable. I don't think it is comfortable for anyone.
It's uncomfortable, yeah.
But the reality about it is, I am pretty sure that these are a lot more comfortable than a ventilator. Sometimes you gotta... You have to make sacrifices, especially in situations such as this. This is not a normal occurrence, and we have to make sacrifices. I'm into the entertainment field as well, and I have had to make several sacrifices that have cost me as well. But at the end of the day, I understand that our lives and health and safety are way more important than a few things, you know, and that kind of thing. I think, like, Ford and I have had this discussion more than once. We are so selfish. And selfishness is one of the downfalls that continue to plague us in this pandemic, because we are so selfish. And we're just thinking about what we want and what, you know, but we have to think about what is better for the entire country, what is better for us as a people, because it's not a one person fight here.
I want to thank you for sharing with us this Sunday afternoon again. I want to thank you for sharing from the heart. And most of all, on behalf of those of us who depend on you in times of crisis, whether it's a house fire, whether it's a tragic accident. And I urge the public, please try to cooperate with the fire service, with the emergency people, the ambulances, the garbage disposal units. Let us cooperate with them. It's for our benefit. It's for the benefit of our nation. It's for the health and safety of the lives of those we care about. And I hope that if you care about nobody else but yourself, at least you care about yourself enough to take the kind of action that we're talking about. I want to thank you guys for doing the job that you do, for taking the time to try to educate the public. And I would urge you to continue and find strength in each other, because these are difficult times and you guys get called to situations that sometimes are tragic. I often wonder, you know, what happens to a fire officer when he turns up at the scene of a fire and he knows the person personally, somebody he went to school with, you know, a friend, a real close friend, or even, you know, a family member. I know of a situation where, you know, as young people, we hear fire and we rush to see what it is. And it was one of the girls in my class whose home was burning. I mean, she dropped like a stone. I mean, literally just fainted, just hit the ground, because, you know, you don't expect it to be yours. So I really would urge you to take care of yourselves. Eat well, Natasha. Last week, we talked about losing weight. I don't know why we were talking about that, Jason, last week. But she promised to make us pizza when things were better. I don't know if that extends to the persons who sit on this side and have a chat with them, but I was promised pizza. So if you see anybody making pizza in this downtime that you have, it's not for the fire officers alone. You don't need to put on the siren to bring it across.
I will keep you informed.
You can just send the message.
Eating it.
That's all right. At least it will sustain him, and I know he's doing it for a good cause. But, you know, it's Sunday afternoon, and people are having their lunch, so I wanted to at least have them enjoy that. But I really want to thank you for the job that you do. I want to urge you to find the strength and to lean on each other, and we cooperate as much as we can to make sure that the work of the fire service is easier for us all, because as we usually say at the end,
fire prevention
is our intention. I got it this time. Guys, have a safe week. Take care. And we have your back too.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. A repeat of one of the last shows hosted by Dennis Johnson for the 311 radio show as a tribute from the Barbados Fire Service, and in thanking him for all that he would have done with them in his time. And thank you very much, Officer Ford, for even suggesting that and for bringing it forward.
Of course, could not have done it any other way. I don't think there's a greater tribute that I could have paid to him. So it was indeed an honor having this repeat. And of course, seeing the Titan himself again.
Yes, yes, yes. I must say he did enjoy the 311 radio show and recording it and spending time with you all, even when we would have been here in the studio physically back in the day.
Yeah,
right. You know, interacting with you and recording the shows with you. You know, he did enjoy those times. So thank you, Dennis.
As much as we enjoyed having him host, thank you again, Miss the old Dennis. Don't be called Mr. Dennis, the old Dennis.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the 311 radio show as we pay tribute to Dennis Johnson in repeating one of his last shows, which would have hosted for the 311 radio show. I'm Krista J. Paul. Remember, you can always log on to vob929.com to listen to the podcast of any of our shows. And thank you so much, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford, for being with us today.
And thank you so very much for being accommodating as usual.
No problem. God bless. Have a great week. Should we end this show by saying?
Fire prevention is our intention.
That's right. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Protecting life and property. Call 311. Promoting fire safety. Call 311. Enforcing safety standards. Call 311. crisis, you can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.